Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm with Mission East Africa, Uganda, and by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my real joy to look to the scriptures with you once again this blessed day, this Lord's Day morning. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry, Mission East Africa, Uganda, at our website. You'll find us at www.missionafricajk.net. Today, we're looking at verses beginning in Psalm 112. Please turn there with me in your Bibles to Psalm 112. We'll read that psalm, and then we'll look at verses in Matthew chapter 5 as we attempt to answer the question which was brought to me recently by a pastor. I was preaching at his church, and he asked me to preach upon this question. And the question is, how will a person know that he is blessed by God? How will a person know that he is blessed by God? Praise the Lord. And so I'll be sharing with you today what I preached at my friend's church recently as we explore this subject, the blessings of God. How do we detect them? How do we know what they are? How do we know that we are indeed blessed by God? Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, let us pray now. Father in the highest heaven, glory and praise to you. Your infallible word declares to us, Lord, that you are the great and true living God, that you reign from heaven, that your word is settled in the heavens. And we give you praise, Lord, that your inerrant word declares to us the precious truth that you are the blessed God, that you are only blessed, that you bring blessings to the peoples who know you, who trust in you. Indeed, you bring good to every person. And we thank you for your mercies, Lord. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness to all, for your saving love, that you have loved your people with a heart to save them from before the creation of the world. Father, we ask your blessings on the word of God that we'll receive now in Psalm 112 and Matthew 5. And we pray that we might faithfully, truly answer this question. How will a person know that he is indeed blessed by God, the blessed God and Savior? And we pray that you'll have your glory in this time, that we will be helped by your precious truth. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, here now Psalm 112 from the New King James Version, the Holy Bible, beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Praise God. And now in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Praise God. May the Lord add his blessings to the word we have just received. Amen. And so, again, we are answering the question today, how do I know if I am blessed? And as we take a quick look at these verses in Psalm 112 and in Matthew chapter 5, we see a difference in the verses. There is no contradiction, of course. The Word of God is a unity. It cannot contradict itself. It is all absolutely true. But we see a difference in these verses in the types of blessings that are spoken of. Psalm 112 speaks of spiritual blessings, indeed, as Matthew chapter 5 does, but Psalm 112 also includes temporal blessings, or if you will, blessings that would come to a person in regard to his physical being. We find here in Psalm 112 also the concept that as promises and blessings were made to Israel, that indeed we find in this psalm, as we do in the entire Old Testament, very specific references to promised blessings primarily to Israel at the time of the Old Testament writings. Praise God. And in this, for instance, we see that wealth and riches will be in his house, verse 3. That's a promised blessing, if you will, to the righteous man in Psalm 112. Quite on the contrary, in a sense, there's no contradiction in the Word of God. We simply need to discern rightly, to understand rightly, to exposit, that is to really analyze the teaching to see the great consistent unity in the Scripture. But upon first reading at first glance, we see that Jesus doesn't promise wealth and riches to the blessed man. Indeed, he says that the poor in spirit are blessed in Matthew chapter 5. That is, the needy, the impoverished in heart are blessed. And then we find that Luke tells us in a similar series of verses, the teaching of Jesus, that he declares, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so we see that Jesus is not primarily speaking of a material or temporal blessing in Matthew chapter 5 or in Luke, but that he is speaking primarily of spiritual blessings. And so why is the man blessed who believes in God in Psalm 112 with the promise of wealth and riches in his house? Well, simply, it's because there were specific promises made to the Jews who believed, to Israel, and that is that for the continuance of the nation, all in God's plan, for the welfare of the nation of Israel, God promised this blessing of wealth and riches. This is not an absolute promise to every believer in Israel at the time. It is not an absolute promise to every believer in Jesus Christ today. But again, in principle, we see that God has promised wealth and riches in his wisdom to Israel, that the nation may be sustained. It is from the nation of Israel that God's own son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come. And so we see that this blessing was indeed fulfilled, and we find the blessing to be extant in ancient Israel in the time of David, for instance, and in the time of Solomon. In fact, we see a general principle in the Old Testament that there is a promise of wealth to these early believers who would serve in God's kingdom in this, in a sense, preparatory time before the coming of the Messiah. Praise God. It was necessary that Israel find this blessing, have this blessing of material provision, and at times in great abundance, which is really what the verse is speaking of. We remember, for instance, that Israel was led out of Egypt, out of slavery by Moses, and that they plundered Egypt. They took with them great wealth from Egypt. Again, this was all in God's blessing for them, and they would need those riches for their long journey in the desert and for their coming into the promised land. They needed this provision. And so we see too, though, that in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord's real focus is not primarily on temporal blessings, but on spiritual blessings. Indeed, in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord speaks of the spiritual characteristics of a saved man. He describes the blessed man, that is, the saved man. And so, again, we're simply answering the question, what does it mean to be blessed? How do I know that I am blessed? And so, very quickly, let's take a little closer look at Psalm 112 now. And so the psalm begins with a declaration of praise, Alleluia, praise the Lord. And notice in verse 1 that we find here that the man who fears the Lord is blessed. The man who delights greatly in the commandments of God is blessed. Praise God. Now, the word that's used in the Old Testament for bless or blessing is the word barak. And it means primarily to kneel. And so the idea here is that the man who kneels, and we must think by way of extension, who kneels to God is the blessed man. And so to be blessed in the Old Testament means that you are one who kneels. Praise God. And so the man who kneels and fears God, who greatly delights in the commandments of God, we find in verse 2, is blessed in this way. Again, this is a description of the blessed man. His descendants will be mighty on earth. Now, again, just track with me in your thinking. You can see how really important this promised blessing to the Jewish believer is. His descendants will be mighty. The generation of the upright will be blessed. By implication, the descendants of the man who is blessed would be upright and would also be blessed. Now, again, this was a great blessing to this small people, this rather small people, who would be used by God in such significant ways. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Again, a great promise, primarily in context to Israel. His righteousness endures forever. Now, again, his righteousness stands forever. This, of course, is primarily a spiritual blessing. We find that truth echoed so clearly, stated so clearly in the New Testament, in the fulfillment of God's promises, if you will, that the man who believes in God has a righteousness imputed to him that stands forever. Praise God. Again, in verse 4, the blessed man in Israel will receive light from God in the darkness. He will have a gracious, compassionate, and righteous heart. His character is spoken of here. He will be a generous man who deals graciously. He will lend to others. And again, we see that the Old Testament speaks of this quite often. And he will be wise. He will have understanding, guiding his affairs and understanding. He will not be shaken. He will stand. And his name will be held in everlasting remembrance with honor. He need not be fearful in the face of evil circumstances, but his heart will be steadfast, trusting in the Lord, and his heart will stand firm. He shall be strengthened. He shall be established. He will not succumb to fear, but notice in verse 8, an interesting blessing, he shall see his desire for justice upon his enemies. In other words, his enemies will fall before him. Now again, this speaks of a marked difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We find promised blessings, a promised victory, a military victory over Israel's foes, which is really what this verse is speaking about. We don't see that promise in the New Testament, in the fulfillment, in the time of Jesus, but we do see the promise of victory spiritually in the New Testament. Praise God. We don't see a promise of military victory, but we see a promise of spiritual victory in the New Covenant. By the way, we find there, for instance, as in Ephesians 6, that believers are to war spiritually in the heavenly places. We do not conquer by the sword. We have the right to defend ourselves. And the civil authorities are given the right to carry the sword, that is to enforce the laws with corporal punishment. But we do not see an unconditional and absolute promise of military victory for Christian peoples. Praise God. And so again, here in Psalm 112, the righteous man, the blessed man, disperses abroad. He gives generously, he gives to the poor. He shows mercy. His righteousness endures forever. He is seen to be righteous because he has this generous heart. And he is strengthened. His horn is strengthened with honor. Praise God. And interestingly, in verse 10, the wicked see this grace of God upon him, and they are grieved. They are saddened by this man's power, his blessing, his ability. The wicked gnash their teeth in their agony and they melt away. Their desire will perish as they see the blessing of God upon the faithful Jewish man. Again, in context, we see clearly that Israel's enemies were indeed, historically, we find it in the text, saddened and grieved by the blessings and the will of God, Jehovah, upon Israel. Their desire to overtake them, perhaps at times even to annihilate them, was frustrated. They did not succeed in their plans. And so our point simply is that we see in these verses, I believe, good examples of two types of blessing that God brings to his people. In Psalm 112, we see a great focus on the material or temporal blessings that God gives. And in Matthew chapter 5, we see the great focus upon the spiritual blessings or the godly character, the heart, a Christ-like heart that God blesses believers with. Now, let's contrast the definition of Barak in the Old Testament, again, which means to kneel, with New Testament words for blessing. And we find here, for instance, that the Greek word for blessing is primarily interpreted as well off or blessed or happy. Another word for blessing in the New Covenant is a word that means to prosper or to bless, to praise. We might think of that as meaning to succeed. And so this Greek word for blessing, when it speaks of being well off, primarily connotes not a physical state of being well off, not of being wealthy, but of being well off or well blessed by God in a spiritual sense. And so the primary meaning of blessing in the New Testament is that one is made spiritually happy in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now remember again too that the scripture declares to us that the Old Testament teachings are for our learning and admonition, that is warning and instruction. And so the Old Testament law, a tutor, was given to teach men about Christ and their need of Christ. And so in many ways, in very real physical ways, again, think of the Old Testament temple, the Old Testament Levitical system, the priesthood, the Old Testament laws, dietary laws, for instance, even in their civil laws, they were a theocracy, they were a nation that were to be ruled in every respect of their lives by God, by Jehovah. In the tabernacle, if we track back a bit earlier, even in the commandments to tithe, for instance, in all of these ways, we see God's dealing with them in very real temporal respects, that they might learn the spiritual blessing that was promised to them in the fullness in the coming of the Son of God. And so we can contrast that aspect of blessing, the temporal aspect, in the fulfillment in the New Testament, in the time of Christ, in that he has come. And he teaches us primarily, praise God, about the heart, the spirit, about having a heart that pleases God. That teaching was also present in the Old Testament, but really finds its fulfillment in the great teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he teaches us about the necessity of being born again and of having Christ-like character by the Spirit of God, that we might please God and serve God from our hearts. There is much less of a focus upon temporal blessings in this respect in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, having said that, we must strike the biblical balance and again state clearly that God indeed does bless us in a temporal, physical sense. And he indeed does bless us in an eternal, spiritual sense. Praise God. And the teaching of the Bible is pretty clear, I believe, in that the priority of blessing in these two respects is the spiritual blessing, meaning that if we are blessed spiritually, if we are saved by God, if we have received the Spirit of Christ, if he indwells us, if we are forgiven for Christ's namesake, if we are truly sons of God, we shall receive a new heart from God, a new heart that reflects the godly character that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 5. That is clearly the first and greatest blessing, that we would be saved from our sins. That's the promised blessing of the new covenant, the blessing of Jesus. He came and preached repentance of sins, Matthew tells us there in Matthew chapter 5. And so, praise God. If we have that blessing, the greatest of blessings, indeed, all other blessings follow. The Lord said that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things else we need shall be given to us. And so in terms of priority and order, the spiritual precedes the temporal. In a sense, the spiritual is eternal. The temporal is only temporary. Praise God. And so every good gift comes down from our Father in heaven, James tells us. Every good that God brings comes as a gift to men. And so we need to quickly understand this morning that God brings good to all men in two ways. He brings good and in a sense brings his blessings in his common grace. He is patient. He doesn't immediately judge us. He doesn't immediately cast us away. We are not immediately condemned in eternal hell, though we have sinned against God. We receive good from God's hand in terms of our provision. He provides food and clothing and shelter, and he provides the ability to acquire these needed things in our lives. Praise God. He brings the good of children. He brings the good of marriage to us. Praise God. He blesses us with friends, if you will, with peace. And so the common mercies of God to all people, order, sanity, praise God, that they're just innumerable. There are so many good things that come from the Father in heaven to all people. And then also God blesses in a very specific way to those who believe in his Son, to those who are saved in a salvific way, and that is that God blesses us in his saving love with eternal salvation and forgiveness of sins. People may experience the common grace of God, and yet many do not experience the saving grace of God. They're not saved from their sins. The good they receive is really for a time, the time during their lifetime here, which is short. It's a temporary good, if you will. But the blessings that come to the man who is saved in the saving grace of God are eternal blessings. All things must work together for their good, the scripture declares us, and in a sense for their eternal good. Praise God. And God blesses us with every good gift from heaven in common grace and saving grace in a temporal way, in a truly spiritual way when we are saved, because we are indeed spiritual and physical creatures. We are people created in God's image with souls, and we are created in the image of God, and God has created us with bodies. Praise God. And so the wonderful benefits of God come to people in both ways, in the spiritual respect, which is primary, and also in the physical respect or in the temporal respect. Absolute blessings come spiritually. Temporal blessings come with some limitations. Praise God. And so the blessings of Psalm 112, we must understand, the temporal blessings are not absolutely promised to believers today. In context, we must understand that they were promised to Israel at the time. Praise God. Though many times we find that there is an overlap, that is, a principle carries over into the New Testament. The principle is seen in the Old, and the principle then carries over in the New. But again, we must remark upon this fact that we must have a discerning heart and mind and understand, as revealed in the Word of God, what is primarily meant for Israel and what it really means in what capacity, and what is primarily meant for us today as Christians and in what capacity. Praise God. And so to understand the blessings of God and what it means to be blessed by God, we can contrast Matthew chapter 5 with Matthew chapter 23, for instance. And let me give you a quick summary of that chapter. In Matthew 23, we find that Christ does not pronounce the Pharisees and the Sadducees, his enemies, as blessed people, though they were very religious people. But indeed, he does just the opposite. He pronounces them cursed of God. And so their cursings are just the opposite of the blessings that we find in Matthew chapter 5. And so if we would know what it means to be blessed by God, we can look carefully at Matthew 5. If we want to know what it means in the Christian dispensation in our times to see what it means to be cursed by God, we would look at Matthew chapter 23. And in both cases, we find that the Lord speaks again of the heart. Praise God. The condition of the heart. And we're going to take a closer look at Matthew chapter 5 later, but very quickly, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus curses the scribes and the Pharisees, for instance, for their hypocrisy. He later tells us that evil thoughts arise from men's hearts. And so, really, Christ is speaking of the hypocritical heart of the scribes and the Pharisees. They are not honest men. He says that they are thieves. They are pretenders. They are merely religious actors. They are in religion to get what they can, for instance, as they steal and mistreat widows. They are in religion, in their high capacities in religion, simply to receive honor from men. But they are not true men. They are not pure in heart. And so we find here that he condemns them. He says, for instance, in verse 15, "Woe to you," just the opposite of blessing. "Cursed are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." And so we see that he curses them. He calls them sons of hell. And he says that their efforts in their religion are simply to bring cursing upon others that they teach to follow them and their ways. He says they are blind guides. He calls them greedy. He calls them mistaken. He says they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, meaning simply that they have instituted their own corrupt ideas in their traditions, and they have set aside the pure, holy Word of God. They focus on insignificant, or rather smaller, details, and they miss the much bigger truth that God requires of a man: love, and that he be merciful, that he loves his neighbor, that he cares for his neighbor as himself. And so they make the smaller things big in their corruption, oftentimes again because of their greed, their hypocrisy, their desire to be seen by men, and they set aside God's greatest requirements for a person. Jesus says in verse 25 that they are cursed. They are hypocrites. They cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but they are inside full of extortion and self-indulgence or unrighteousness. He calls them to have a pure heart by true faith in God. And so they simply put on a good show. They make the outside look well, but inside they are corrupted. He says that in verse 27 and 28. They are full of hypocrisy. They appear outwardly beautiful, but inside they are dead and stinking. And so he speaks of the fact that their hearts are murderous. They are hateful men. And so they are guilty men, and they will be judged by God for their great sins. And so we mention that again simply to understand the blessings that we find in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll continue there next Lord's Day as he gives us grace. Again, we're answering the question, what does it mean to be blessed by God? Father, thank you for this time. Bring a true blessing to my hearers through your precious word, through understanding and grace. Touch their hearts, change their hearts, save them, Lord. And then from their very hearts, lead them to live righteously in true Christian love and blessing. Loving you, God, loving their neighbor as themselves, and so give you glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.